Manchester City has started to run away with the title, but the battle for top four continues in the Premier League. Leicester win big over Liverpool, and Klopp then concedes the title. Spurs lose to City, United falter at West Brom, and Tuchel continues his magic touch, pulling Chelsea into fourth. Oh yeah, Kepa got a clean sheet. We down here in the Rat Tail Bunker and Barbershop Studio, and this is the Boys and Bolos podcast. Welcome back to the Boys and Bolos podcast. We down here in the Rat Tail Bunker and Barbershop Studio again. Jarrett, welcome. We are down here. It's cold out, sleeting.
Week 24, there's an ice storm. I almost broke my shit getting over here.
Yeah, it was slippy.
Slippy or slippery?
Slippy.
Slippy.
Yeah, like from, that's it. That's all I got. Slippy.
Slippy. Yeah. Jeff, your English.
Slippery when wet.
I'm really worried about your English these days.
Strong.
Jeff the other day said strong instead of strength. And then you said,
I was trying to say strong and strength together.
Yeah, strong like and strength. My and brain got strong. And then today he said something about it wasn't, you should have said redeemed, but you're like redeemed.
Well, I'm not wrong.
Do you have like, are you like a Harry Maguire CTE brain going on or something?
That's what happens when you have three kids.
Oh, wow. It's like CTE.
Yeah.
It's like CTE. A trauma to the head daily.
Yeah, especially when you have twins.
Brutal.
Yeah, it's rough. So we had an interesting week.
Week 24 was like having twins, essentially.
If anybody wants to see a really funny video, check out the Boys and Bolos Instagram. It's my we were watching the Spurs game at my house, and my son was on the floor, just like writhing. His head was just going back and forth. He's writhing in like agony. He looked like he was in agony.
He
was having a ball, but
because he's like itching his head through his helmet he's wearing, right?
Yeah.
It probably feels like cool in the back of his like head area. Yeah.
But anyway, just he's like rolling around on the ground, convulsing because Spurs are losing 2-0 to City.
I always put it up after it was like Spurs fans right now because they're just sizzling on the ground somewhere, just baking.
That was rough.
Well, that's what happens when you play Gundinho.
Yeah.
We can start there. City's to the top. City, with Klopp capitulating the title, Pep Guardiola basically already went back to Etihad, and in their trophy room, he's already created a space for the title.
They look good?
They look super good. Somehow, like you said, they've turned a center defensive midfielder into Gundinho. Scores like a billion goals a game.
The only redeeming factor of that game was I had Gundogan on my fantasy team. I didn't make him a captain. I should just make him a captain every week because he's good for two goals.
He's good for more than two goals. If Oz had him as captain, and I looked because Oz is like the Premier League overlord as far as fantasy. He had 38 points last week.
Oh yeah,
38 points. That's crazy. Sometimes I don't even break 38 points.
Yeah, and he has another game this week. He's got another game because it's a 2-week. It's double points.
So brutal.
Yep.
So brutal.
Have fun.
Let's talk about Tottenham, the VAR. Do you think it was a penalty?
Definitely was not a penalty.
Definitely not a penalty. I agree. No. And I think had he'd seen it again from the angles that we were able to see, maybe he would have turned it over. And once again, we're talking about VAR, and it's not our favorite topic, but it's something we got to look at because essentially Højbjerg is going to cut off the ball, and Gundinho is driving to the goal. As Gundinho is reaching out, he actually claws the back of Højbjerg's Achilles and actually takes Højbjerg down. But in the moment and in the speed of play and at the angle and in the
It looks like
it's a penalty.
Højbjerg is taking it out.
It looks reckless.
Gundogan. But we were talking about this, and we thought it was the wrong decision. What really should happen with every penalty is they should go look at it at VAR. I'm not saying that the ref should go to the sidelines and look at it. I'm saying that VAR should say, hey, that's a questionable call. Hey, this is going to significantly impact the game, i.e. give the other team a goal. We should look at it in VAR. And if they slowed it down and looked at it, like we were able to do, like every person who was watching that game could see that it wasn't a penalty.
I sometimes don't think the refs understand the value of a goal.
Right.
I think they think it's not as important as it actually is. And we've talked about this, and it's like you can go read the books. If you score a goal, your chances of winning are like so highly increased, even though it's one goal. Because if you score two goals, because of the low-scoring nature of soccer, you're guaranteed almost a point at that point. I know that didn't make sense, but at the moment you score two goals, you're basically guaranteed a point. And once you have two goals, then the chances of you taking like 1.5 points increase because you're so much more likely to win the game. Where once you score two goals, then the worst outcome is a tie. And then you're more likely to win the game. And so I just don't think that they're taking it seriously enough. And I agree with you that they should go look at the VAR every time for penalties.
I also do not want to discount the fact that scoring the first goal in the game is infinitely more important than any other goal that happens during the game. Because once that team scores the goal, they play, the whole team sets up differently. It creates a different dynamic with the opposing team who got scored on. So now they're trying to play catch up, and it just makes them more likely to get scored on again because they have to now take chances instead of, in Spurs' case, they defend really well once they score. Now that doesn't always work out for them because they have shit defenders. But what I'm saying is that you're exactly right. Refs do not understand the value of the goal.
Maybe that's the rule. If it's a first goal, or really any, I think any penalty, they should look at it. But you're right, the value of the first goal, and this is in Soccernomics, I believe, they talk about like if you score number 5 in a route, 5-0, it means nothing. But without that first goal, you don't get 2, 3, 4, or 5. Maybe it's within a first goal at any time, there's question of offsides or something, the ref has to go look at it or something, because especially in Spurs' case, or really in any case in the Premier League, most teams right now are not scoring a lot of goals. There's not a lot of free-flowing. I know we started off the season, we had like week 2 or 3, there was the most goals scored ever in a week. We've come back down to like where the parabola should be as far as the median and the average goal per week, or the mean, I guess you could say, of goals per week. And yeah, in that game, once City go ahead, the game is over, because there's no way that Tottenham can go get a goal and open up without letting City get another goal.
Correct. And right before that play had happened, Spurs had almost scored on a free kick from Harry Kane. And there was a questionable call in the box with Spurs. So it's like everybody acts like Spurs are absolute dog shit against City because they lost 3-0. And yes, they didn't play great and they didn't respond to that goal very well. But put yourself in their shoes. They're playing the best team in the league. They were playing decently well enough to at least get a tie in that game. And then Harry Kane misses a free kick, which was really unlucky. And then they get this shit call, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to go their way. It is very discouraging to be a player and for that to happen. And do not discount the fact that how that impacted the game. So I thought, you know, it wasn't, obviously Spurs have a lot of problems, but that game went sideways after that penalty, for sure.
Definitely went sideways. If the Harry Kane free kick goes in and they build off that momentum, maybe it's a whole different look of the rest. If they get in the half 1-0, Mourinho gives them a talk, maybe they change something tactically, we'll see what happens. But going in down 1-0, were they down 1-0 or 2-0 at half? Doesn't matter. Going down at half to Spurs is really brutal when you're a team that likes to defend on the counter.
The second and the third goal were in the second half.
So, right, they're down 1-0. Going in, like I said, into half, losing, it's very tough for Mourinho to kind of – he doesn't have right now – I don't think he has the personnel in the counterattack going forward. Son has really dropped off, and I'm sure maybe the stats would show me different, but like my feeling – is like Ston has dropped off. And I think that's when you compare it to the beginning of the season when he was scoring a goal and an assist almost every game for the first 12 to 15 games. And he's really kind of fallen off. But let's look on the other side of that. City basically have their hands on the title. I don't think anyone's arguing that. I know Solskjaer is like, oh, we're still around, we're going to challenge the guys who are in front of us. No one believes that. I don't even think he believes that. He's just happy to be there.
They tied West Brom. Come on. You got to go out and you got to beat the banana peels.
I agree. But... brutal. Gundogan, 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 Gundinho, whatever his name is he up there right now for the player of the year?
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
That's why I gave it to you. It's a good question.
I think a lot of people might say Bruno Fernandes right now just because of the amount of chances he creates, but just out of left field, Gundinho.
I mean, Gundinho, for now on the pod, he's referred to as Gundinho. Gundinho is the answer to the question of how will City be without Kevin De Bruyne?
Yeah.
And then maybe Kevin De Bruyne gave him like the Michael Jordan Space Jam water, and Gundinho's like, thank you. And he drinks it, and now he's like doing stepovers, taking penalties. Anyway.
Being defenders, making Davinson Sanchez fall on his face.
That was, if you haven't seen the Davinson Sanchez fall on his face, honestly, as a Colombian, I'm very worried because in qualifying, we are really bad right now in CONMEBOL. I don't even know if we're going to get in the World Cup. James looks like shit for Everton. David Sanchez is literally jacking his face into the turf trying to save goals. It is a dark time for Colombian soccer. Neither here nor there. If you haven't seen the Davinson Sanchez, get on YouTube and just say Davinson Sanchez face plant, and I guarantee it's a billion views.
It pretty much sums up Spurs and since pretty much for the last 2 months.
This was also the week where Klopp, in a press conference, and also Klopp lost his mother, which is no good. And I think the entire Premier League felt for him because he couldn't even go home and be with his family at the time due to travel restrictions and everything. And then that was his personal. So he had a personally really tough week, I think. And then on his professional side, he loses a game to Leicester City. Leicester City outplayed them. And then in the press conference after, he capitulates. He said, I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I don't think we're no longer in the title. And at the time, they were in fourth. They finished the week in sixth. Are we Nostradamus in saying that we didn't think Liverpool was going to be in top four? And will that continue to be right? Do you think Liverpool finishes outside of top four? Because the two Manchester teams are in, probably Leicester, and then probably Chelsea at this point.
At this point, yep. I just don't see. I don't see Liverpool being better than Chelsea, Leicester, Manchester City, or Manchester United. It's just not in the cards for them this year. They're going to finish fifth, and they're going to lose in the Champions League. So they're going to be in Europa League next year.
They have to win the Champions League right now.
They're not going
to
win the Champions League.
I agree with you. I think that that's a long shot, but I'm saying they have to as far as the club. How do you go from winning the Champions League in 2019, winning the Premier League in 2020, and then not potentially qualifying for the Champions League?
Injury.
Jordan because they've had
Jordan Pickford. They just got Jordan Pickford.
They got Jordan Pickford. Did. Because like Mourinho said in his classic press conference when he read through the entire Liverpool lineup, they've had a good amount of players for a good amount of time. They just haven't had Van Dijk. Yes. Now, we agree once you drop Jordan Henderson into the CB, they are in trouble. Jamie Vardy and James Maddison they danced the samba all over them. It was bad. It was rough. I wonder.
No, that game, two of the goals were Alisson's fault. One of them was
two of the goals were Alisson's fault.
Vardy, the Vardy goal where he did the
La Bamba.
It was pretty awesome. If you go watch it. He played the corner flag like a guitar. Personally, I like that one better than him kicking it and smashing it into a million pieces. But he was at home, so he had to be nice. That was Alisson's fault. Alisson came too far out, tried to boot the ball. He booted it right to Vardy. Vardy was able to just walk in and basically score. But
I wanted to say for this game was the one that showed us, I think, as fans of football, that while seemingly, and Mac and I remember we talked about this, and we were like, yeah, that's an amazing buy. While seemingly a good pickup, Thiago has turned into a nightmare. If you look at the stats, and I'm trying to find them currently, of him starting and their results, it is very, very ominous. And in that game, Ndidi ate him for breakfast. Yeah, he looked so bad.
The thing he's good for these days is a yellow card. He's a foul machine. He's a hackman.
Yeah, because he was so behind the play. He had nothing else to do.
But not just against Leicester. He is just an ankle hacker. That's all he is. That's all he's done in the Premier League this year. He has zero assists. In fact, Ederson has more assists than him this year.
Ederson literally has more assists than Thiago.
Yeah, and this is supposed to be your star midfielder. Big signing.
Footy Emporium put this up. Once again, we are not affiliated to Footy Emporium at all. If you do not follow them on Instagram and you are on Instagram, you need to follow Footy Emporium. They said Liverpool, when Thiago has played 60-plus minutes in the Premier League this season, has played 9 games at 60-plus minutes. 5 defeats, 2 draws, and 2 wins. That means out of a possible 27 points, he's only taken 8 when he plays 60 minutes or more. 22% win rate. That is bad. He actually, well, I think silently was one of the best signings of the season. Whenever you sign the guy who's the center midfielder and the engine from the Champions League winning team from 2 months before, and you sign him for like nothing, I mean, maybe that's why they signed him.
Maybe they knew something they didn't.
Bayern obviously does great. They do great business, right? They bring in and they get undervalued players all the time. They just signed Upamecano. It's too bad we're not going to see him in the Prem. Anyway, I think Liverpool, if they don't make the top four, which is seemingly more and more likely with what's going on. And there's been a lot of talk is like, is there, you know, is there turbulence behind the scenes? Are players giving up? Is Klopp going to leave? If he's not top four, Mane's gone, potentially to Barcelona. Salah's gone, potentially to PSG or Real Madrid, whoever wants to pay him, whatever he wants to get paid. Bobby Firmino's going to be a tougher sell unless he goes back maybe to the German league and doesn't join Bayern. That team could be disbanded quicker than I think people think.
Yeah. The problem with that team is that once the pieces start falling apart, that whole team falls apart. Because Trent Alexander-Arnold is nothing without Jordan Henderson.
Trent Alexander-Arnold is nothing without Van Dijk, you mean?
And Both. Because he plays an advanced role. So he can't, without Henderson in the middle kind of pulling the strings and pushing the ball up to him, making sure he plays as like a winger as opposed to like as a defender, he gets exposed. He's a terrible defender. He's a terrible, terrible box-to-box defender. He is just gets beat left and right. He's just a winger. He's a winger. That's where he thrives. And if he doesn't have cover, if he doesn't have somebody bailing him out, then he just doesn't shine like he did last season. He looks exposed. That whole team just that once you start moving the pieces around, the whole thing falls apart. And that's what we're seeing. The whole thing just kind of falls apart. And the trio of Mane, Salah, and Firmino, we saw Firmino really drop off. Salah's always going to score his goals. Mane's not scoring goals. We say don't sleep on Mane, but how long do front threes of that caliber really last? And I think it's been a couple of years now, and they've been producing, and now we're seeing a drop off. And usually when that drop off happens, they disperse. And what we're going to see is they're going to disperse. And it's going to go.
I think they're going to disperse no matter what.
Yeah.
Even if they finish top four.
No, they're going to. It's gone. It's over. This
because the Fenway Group, they're good money and they moneyball everything and they're built on statistics and analytics and they make unemotional decisions from that standpoint. And like we always say, you want to sell your player at the top so that way you get the most market value because you don't know what happens next season. They may put on 15 pounds like Eden Hazard, go to Real Madrid, and never play basically for almost two seasons. He's been one of the biggest signings to Real Madrid that's flopped since, I think, probably Michael Owen. When Michael Owen won the Golden Ball, went there and just sat on the bench. I'm going to stop talking about Real Madrid and their flops because I am a Chelsea fan and we have our own flops. Talk about Timo Werner. It's a nice little transition. Timo Werner finally scored a goal today. Hasn't scored in a long time, and it was almost like taken back because people thought it was like flipped off Giroud's hand, which would have been just like the darkest of things. When VAR finally says it's a goal, he like jumps up and down. It was really good. Kepa also had a clean sheet today. So I don't know what kind of Tuchel magic is happening in the background, but Kepa having a clean sheet and Timo Werner scoring is amazing, more so the fact that Tuchel wanted to roll the dice and play Kepa.
No, Tuchel's doing something that I think he's taking a gamble. He's going to play Kepa. He's going to increase the value of Kepa. Somebody probably said to Tuchel behind the scenes, look, we got this guy. We signed him. He's 22 years old, 23 years old. I mean, he's young. We signed him for £70 million. We need to get we obviously don't think he's our future. We like Mendy. We like what he does. He's a good shot blocker. He's stabilizes his defense. He's good. He's better than Kepa. But we need to get some of our money back. So what are you going to do with this guy? And so he's like, all right, well, I'll play him. I'll build his confidence up. I'll give him some value, and then we'll unload him at the end of the season. Because another team's going to need a goalie, and the kid's young. He's bad, right? Like, we've shit on Kepa all the time, but a lot of things with goalkeepers is confidence, and this kid has no confidence. So what you got to do is you got to build his confidence, get him into a system where maybe he needs to be in a league where, like, he's playing up against, like, chumps.
The USL.
No. Well, yeah, that's funny. But no, he needs to go to like Spain.
So funny you didn't laugh.
He needs to go back to Spain, back to his like home.
He would get roasted in Spain. Anyway,
no,
he's horrible. I see what you're saying. Tuchel is trying to, they have to obviously make that asset accrue a little bit because
yeah.
He got, like you said, 70. And I think last time I looked, it was like 13.7.
It's crazy how
he
dropped off.
They will sell him at a deep loss at this point just to get him off the books. I think they're selling him at the end of the season. So it's like,
because it's not just the fact they spent 70. They're also paying his wages. I'm sure he's making like $100,000 a week at least.
I don't even want to look at his wages because it will just make me freak out. He's getting paid like 6 Bitcoin a week.
It's crazy.
So the Kepa thing, I was really actually surprised that he started him because, yeah, okay, I think we're probably going to beat a Callum Wilson-less Newcastle. But still, I think it's a freaking gamble, man. They go up one goal and we just can't score. The game ties or we, God forbid, lose all 3 points. We got through it. It's all good. One of the things I want to ask is Fulham going to be able to do the escape? Because we basically both agree that West Brom and Sheffield are deep in the basement and really have no chance to, you know, where their current position is in the table. West Brom's 5 points behind Fulham and they have a game in hand. If Fulham win their game in hand, then they're only a game and a third behind Newcastle. Do you think Fulham can escape? And if so, which team is going to go down? Because I think, well, I'll let you say that, but I think it's Newcastle, not just because they're where they are, but Brighton has been impressive when I watch Brighton sometimes. And Burnley, Sean Dyche, that guy's just like, he's from a different century. He would like go down with a grenade in his mouth before like he'd go back down. So what do you think?
I actually think Fulham is better than Newcastle. People might disagree with me. Obviously, look at the table. They have less points and stuff. But most of the games they lose are like a 1-0 loss or a 2-1 loss. It's not like they're getting smashed out of like these games against these Premier League teams. Newcastle's in trouble because they don't have Callum Wilson. And he was the reason why they've won the last couple games. Right before this loss,
the Fulham Everton game was fire. Also because Josh Madge scored both goals, and if you'd watch Sunderland Till I Die on Netflix, he's on Sunderland for like a little bit of time, and he's just scoring so many goals in the Championship. This is before they go down to League One, and he's just so class, dude. He's like a league above. So for me, as like seeing a soccer player, I was really happy to see him now in the Premier League, even if he's with a Fulham that may get relegated again. It was good to see him off and running and scoring two goals for Fulham. I thought that was awesome. And it was also good to see Everton, I think, create a little bit more space for teams like Spurs to hopefully get into Europe.
Yeah, also, like, if Fulham do get, like, relegated, he could go to another Premier League club quite easily.
If he scores 5 to 6 more goals out of the games that they have left, he will totally be poached by the lower clubs because he's a solid – and the kid's class. Like, watch Sunderland Till I Die if you have it on Netflix. I think it's a really solid docuseries. But he's pretty prominent at the beginning of that before – I'm going to – you know, break some hearts here. He does get sold, but he's been a journeyman and it was good to see him up in the Premier League and scoring goals because yeah, that's what any player's trying to do in the English system is get to the Premier League and score goals.
The question is that, do I think they're going to make the escape? They need 7 or so points to get out of relegation and be on even points with Newcastle. Newcastle, they don't look like they can beat any team besides Sheffield and West Brom. So unless they have 6 games against the rest of their schedules against Sheffield, I don't see them getting a lot of points. The pressure's only on Fulham. It's on both of them, obviously. But I think Fulham, they obviously need to beat some better teams than they are to get those points. Do I think they're going to make the escape? Yes.
You say Fulham do the escape.
I mean, it's only 7. It's literally like 3 games. It's not.
It's less than 3 games. It's 3 and a third game.
Yeah, I mean, they also have. Don't they have a game in hand, too?
They have a game in hand. Guess who Fulham's last game is?
Spurs.
Newcastle.
So that could be fun.
That game could be fire because that could be it's shaping up to be the game that will decide who stays and who goes because I do think that West Brom are way too deep and Sheffield's gone.
I mean, their goal differential, Newcastle gives up goals like no other. Like it's Newcastle, Crystal Palace and Sheffield to give up the most goals.
West Brom gives up the most goals.
West Brom.
55 goals.
Sorry. Yes. West Brom gives the most goals, but
West Brom's actually relegated right now more than Sheffield because of that. Because if there's ever any ties, Sheffield's only given up. Sheffield's goal differential is -25. West Brom's is -36. So Big Sam, you got to do a little bit more work there, my G, because that's rough. And that's not all Bilic who left that for you. That's bad.
But Fulham's is only -12, and that's about the same as Burnley. It's better than Newcastle. It's better than Crystal Palace. So Fulham is much better than their record shows. They've lost some tough games and they've tied a lot of games. So
I'm going to put this on the gram so it's out to the world. But we think Fulham, I agree with you. I think Fulham's going to do the escape. Josh Madge scoring isn't a great thing. Them beating Everton 2-0 is a good thing.
Everton's a solid team. Everton's a team they beat Chelsea
and Spurs this year.
And they just beat Spurs 5-4 in extra time in the FA Cup. They can score goals and that was without James. So actually which is another question that we could ask is Everton better without James? But that's a whole nother story. I don't want to get into it. If we have an Everton fan on, we can ask that.
That's a deep question. That's deep in the cut.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we start Champions League. I'm excited. I hope you're excited.
Are you?
I'm super excited. The Champions.
Oh God. And I paid for the CBS Sports All Access pass. So I can watch it. All the games in HD.
All the games in 8K.
Actually, my TV only goes 4K, but it is 75 inches.
Size matters.
Size matters. Folks, size matters.
Well, folks matter.
They've seen it on the gram. My TV is deep in the gram.
Yeah, you can like, Jeff's TV is massive. So tomorrow, Champions League, we have Leipzig versus Liverpool, which is going to be a fire game because Liverpool's like a wounded beast. And then you have Barcelona, Neymar-less PSG, which is also going to be fire. Wednesday, you have Porto-Juventus, which will be good because Cristiano, it's always good to see him in there. And then you have Sevilla-Borussia Dortmund, two underrated teams, I think, in the Champions League this year, but that could be actually probably the game of the week. I think that would be the game of the week.
Yeah, I mean, you got Dortmund, you got Erling Haaland. Might make his debut in the Premier League next season when Chelsea or City buy him.
You got Reina too, the U.S.
You got Reina.
You got a lot of U.S. guys.
Jude Bellingham from England on that team.
Sancho. It's going to be a phenomenal week, but I wanted to throw those two out. And
love me some Dortmund.
Love you some Dortmund.
Love me some Bundesliga.
That's Tuchel and Klopp stomping ground.
It's true. Quick question about that. Are all these games being played on neutral grounds? Or just some of them?
I believe all of them, but I'm actually not sure, and that's a really good question. I did see, once again, Footy Emporium put up something. It's like, people are getting really pissed about this, about COVID and this, and it's like, wait until your Champions League team gets out on away goals at a neutral site. That is brutal.
That's brutal.
That is, not going to
I read
well.
Something about, for the EFL Cup final, because I just love talking about that. Carabao Cup. They're going to reintroduce fans for that final. They're going to do a little test run.
Nothing like a super spreader to see Spurs get mini-batted.
Well, mini-batted, probably.
Dude, if you guys win, I will put it out of the pot. I would love to see Spurs win because all that does is it keeps the toxic relationship of Mourinho-Spurs going longer, and I love watching it. It's the best sitcom there is.
It's not Mourinho's fault. They're shit.
It's not Mourinho's fault. They're shit. But he's going to continue to just have a fire Instagram as he has to deal with the dog shit that he has to deal with.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to put it out there. It's Enoch and Levy. That's what it is. The owners, management, the board. It's not Jose's fault. He's like, I need a center back. And they bring in, we'll just get this young kid from the championship. It's fine. We'll get him. It's good. He'll be great. Now, how many minutes has he played in the Premier League? Maybe 90 total. Two games.
Total.
Total. So they scrimped and saved and wouldn't sign Skriniar over a couple million bucks, and now they're dog shit. They're putting Eric Dier out there.
And we're talking about week 25 and getting away from Spurs.
All right, fine. Let's do this quick.
Let's do this. Let's get this done with. First game is going to be on a Friday. I like Friday night games, little Friday night lights. This is going to be a potential game of the week because I like both of these teams. Wolves, Leeds. Who do you got?
I got Wolves. Wolves look better this week. Much better. Leeds look like dog shit against Arsenal. I was not impressed.
I was not impressed with Leeds. But that's why I think they're going to come back and beat Wolves.
What? Like?
By one goal.
Okay. I think Wolves will win. Neto, Neves, they scored a couple goals last game. Look decent against Southampton.
Southampton, speak of the devil, has lost their last six games.
Six games, not five. Sorry.
And they play Chelsea first game Saturday morning.
Ooh.
Who do you got in this one?
Oh, I got Chelsea. 100%. You got the new 3-5-2 of Chelsea's Tuchel era with resurgent Azpilicueta and Christensen and Rudiger.
Aspili is so brutal.
Aspi, Rudiger,
is so brutal.
Christensen, Marcus Alonso.
It's like Tuchel came in to coach Chelsea, and he thought that they were the title-winning team under Conte. And he came in, and he's like, oh, we'll just install those players again.
Yeah, Jorginho.
Oh, my God, Jorgines. I can't. Conte's riding the pine pony, dude.
He comes riding in the pony. Bum minutes.
In comes like, in the 85th to waste time. I'm like, oh, that's cool, Tuchel.
Yeah.
$250
million on the bench.
I would love for Jorginho to be sold, but apparently Tuchel and Jorginho, like, love hanging out. They do puzzles together.
Regardless, I think that Chelsea is going to win that game.
I got Chelsea by two goals.
Yeah.
Burnley, West Brom, mini bat game potentiality of the week. Who do you got?
Burnley.
Dude, Sean Dyche.
Sean Dyche.
I'm he's so just excited for them to win.
He's looking his chops.
Licking his chops. Liverpool, Everton, Merseyside, Derby. Who do you got? Let me tell you where it is.
Both teams are very mediocre.
It's at Anfield. And Anfield is no longer the fortress that it once was. Both teams are wildly mediocre. I have Liverpool winning this, though.
No, I have a 1-1 tie.
That's better for both of our teams. I agree, I concur, but I still have Liverpool winning.
My team's an eighth-place team. They're eighth-place all day.
Yeah, but your team has games in hand, and if you win those games, you're far up.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They're not good. All right, let's continue.
God, it's so dark. Fulham-Sheffield. This is the mini back game of the week, because I think Fulham's going to beat Sheffield by 3 goals.
Oh, yeah. Fulham's going to say, we just beat Everton.
By two goals. So by the angle postulate theorem, they should be Sheffield by like nine goals.
No, I think Fulham, they get another point. They get out of the base. They're not going to get out of the basement, but they're going to eclipse 20 points. And they're going to be feeling much better about themselves. Scotty Paca.
Sunday morning, we have a London affair between the Hammers and the Spurs. This is going to be a tough one for you guys. This is a game that you need to win. You need to win every game. This game you need to win. It's a derby, and it's also against a team that is you're going to be near by the end of the season. You need these points especially.
We're not going to beat West Ham.
It's at the London Stadium. It's at West Ham. It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. They're a very
Spurs
good team.
Are better away from home, to be honest. But
you don't think they can win?
No. Not with this. Maybe. I think it might be 2-1.
I'm going to go Spurs win. You guys have had some rough games. You played some big teams, and I think you're going to bounce back. I think you're actually going to win this game.
Reguilón will be back. He's coming back midweek at Wolfsburger. Not the German team, the Austrian team. We're playing Wolfsburger in the Europa League.
Wolfsburger, Austrian. Wolfsburg, German.
Correct. Sorry. We're playing Wolfsburger midweek Europa League. Reguilón will be back. I think Reguilón being back as, you know, a winger who can defend, who can push forward, I think that'll be helpful.
I think you guys win by a goal.
Okay.
Honestly.
Thank you.
You guys are a bigger club.
You're better. We're better than the last couple games we've played, I think.
And you played big teams the last couple games.
Yeah, I think that effort, the FA Cup effort, actually did have an impact on the City game, because they had the Spurs had to play 120 minutes, and guys were tired. And I think Toby will play. I think they may still play a 3-5-2.
I think you guys are going to win by one goal.
Okay. They won't do what they happened last time, where we gave up 3 goals in like 10 minutes off a whirly off what's-his-face.
Lanzini. Ugh. Top bins Lanzini. Aston Villa, Leicester. I got Leicester on this.
Yes.
Like, the teams that are ahead of us, dude, I actually, being in fourth, I actually don't care if they win anymore. They can just stay ahead of us. But the teams below us, I don't want us to get any closer. So right. I want Leicester to win.
I enjoyed watching Leicester beat Liverpool a couple days ago.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Against Liverpool, I like Liverpool, but I love to see a team that maybe is like, if I'm Leicester, I'm walking out of the tunnel and I'm like, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough game. And then they just put it in overdrive.
It was fun seeing them capitalize on Allison's mistakes, because Allison, I feel like we're not going to go down that path of Allison fucking up.
It's a dark path.
Yeah, because he's been pretty bad lately. But I mean, seeing Vardy score is fun, and the guy just loves playing soccer. And Madison's great. Madison's fantastic. He's fun to watch.
So class. If Madison's not in the England line in the top 23 that go to the Euros, Gary Southgate should be fired.
Yeah,
he's phenomenal. This is potentially the game of the week: Arsenal, Man City. Arsenal looked good this past week. We said that they were probably going to lose to Leeds or tie. We said out of the next 3 games, Arsenal would only take a max of 4 points. So if they win this game, we are brutally wrong. And John Scheimer, who listens to the podcast, his head did not explode with Ozatik's comments that Arsenal would finish in 11th. And John said, well, this is why, because Aubameyang scores a hat trick and they win 4-2 against Leeds. And they did it really handedly. Like, I don't think they really broke too much of a sweat doing that. I think this is going to be the game of the week. I think Arsenal's going to come out and they're going to play two-way soccer, and I think it's going to be a good game. I think City will win because they're just class. I'd say it's 70-30 City win. I think Arsenal have a 20% chance of tying and a 10% chance of winning.
The fact that they still gave up 2 goals to Leeds proves that their defense is not great.
I think Arsenal have a chance of winning. I really do. It hurts me. It hurts me deep in my loins.
I think City have to play a midweek game. That may have an effect on what lineup they put out. Their midweek game actually might be an easy game. I actually know they're playing Everton midweek. It's a game-in-hand game. I think it's like week 17 or 16 or something. They're going to have to put like a pretty decent lineup for that midweek game.
I don't think it matters. I think they're so deep.
I think it does matter. I think actually it does matter.
It doesn't, dude. Gundinho came out of the woodwork, dude. Honestly, I just don't.
I'm thinking more defense. Like, they can't play. Like, they Cancelo, they didn't rest him. He was sick. He had an illness.
That's Stones? No. Diaz.
Diaz.
Either way, they didn't play, and I think they're fine. I think City's going to win both those games, honestly.
Yeah, Zinchenko actually looks halfway decent. All right, so who am I picking? I am picking...
I've got City by a goal.
I got City by 2 goals. I think they're going to win 2-0.
The next game is the match of the Uniteds. This is actually, so when we say mini back games, we're either saying a game that's going to be super lopsided or a game that's between two not so great opponents because they're in a basement fighting with mini bats. Now, our first call this week with the team Burnley West Brom, that was the latter. That was two small men like you and I hitting each other with mini bats in a low lit basement where we currently are. However, this next game is the latter or the former of a team that's absolutely David and Goliathing. I think Manchester United could beat Newcastle by 5 goals. And I say that because Newcastle is not good. I don't think Callum Wilson's going to come back. And Man United is going to want blood after tying against West Brom. So this is another potential for a mini bat as far as a David versus Goliath situation.
Absolutely. I think they win 3-0.
I'm going to go 3. That's comfortable. And then finally on Monday, so this is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday affair, you have Brighton Hove, Crystal Palace. Another potential for the latter being a basement brawl with mini bats.
As we continue to say, no Zaha, no goals. Crystal Palace is dog shit.
Brighton look good. We were watching the other day, and I was like, dude, watch this movement. Watch the third man run. Watch they look good.
Sometimes they don't execute their plan. Sometimes they're not. But you can tell they're like trying to do something out there. Like they have a structure. They've got pretty good defenders with Dunk, and they move the ball. They try to get the ball to Mape, and they try to like move the ball in the wing, and they try to get the ball in the box. I think they win this game, no problem, 2-0.
Graham Potter's got them in a system.
Yeah, it's a system.
They understand their role, and it's going to work against some teams. It's not going to work against other teams. I think 2-0 is fair. I agree with that, and that keeps them essentially out of relegation, which is good for them.
And I said they were going to get relegated. I'm probably going to be wrong.
I too said that they would get relegated. And finally, let's go look at, ooh, your boys. I'm in 9th, dude. I'm in the single digits in fantasy. Holla at your boy.
I moved up, dude, to 8th.
Diego's out of the basement because he finally fixed his team, and he's going to somehow jump me because he did a whole cleaning of his team because he probably listened to Oz. So the basement's still Graham's gang, Murder on the Dance Floor, and AFC Tolima share with Pablo. And number 1 is still Oz the Teak. Jesus Larry's catching up in 2. And 3, Los Bandoleros, Rodney, he's on his way. He's on his way up. Nick Bailey jumped up. Trevor knocked down with Kickball FC. Jeff is in 7th.
Oh, thank you.
And I am in 9th. I am now only 20 points away from you. There was a time I was 110 points away.
The funny thing is, though, is that I have a game this week. Is one of the, I have 3 players from City. So I have Gundogan, I have Diaz, and Cancelo. And they're playing a midweek game that I get points for this week. So you got to remember that.
I have 3 players from City as well. I have Stones, Diaz, and Ederson, who apparently may be taking free kicks, corner kicks, and PKs in the near future.
True. Fair. I'm going to get a lot of points out of those 3 players.
Okay, normally. My G. In the City win, Stones didn't play, Diaz didn't play, whatever. In the City win last week, I got 18 points between Stones and Ederson because Ederson had 12 points.
Okay, but Ederson's not typically going to get 12 points.
Okay, my G, what's one?
He'll usually get 6 points, typically.
Anyways, week 25 coming up, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday fixtures.
I thought it was week 24.
No, we just finished week 24. We previewed week 25.
I always mess that up.
We got the Champions League.
Champions League.
The Champions!
And Europa League. Ooh.
That's exactly how it'd be. It'd be like Angels, like the Champions. And then it's like some troll under the bridge. Yeah, we got the Europa League over here. That's what it, like, honestly, Europa League, when someone says that, it sounds like a clown car.
If you win the Europa League, you get in the Champions League.
Oh, my God. Oh, my Jesus.
If, by some twist of fate, listen to all these people who listen to our podcast, if Spurs win the Europa League, which I don't think is actually going to happen. Right. But if they do, which is still a possibility.
You're going to lay something down right now?
And if they don't. Okay. Let me start this again. If Spurs win the Europa League, which means they get into the Champions League, and then Chelsea finish in 5th, what might happen? What would happen? How would that?
I know what will happen. This is what happened in 2012. Chelsea finish in 6th place.
Yep.
We win the Champions League. Mm-hmm. Spurs is in 4th. We knock them out.
Oh, nice.
Now, I don't know what's changed the Europa
League. They let more European clubs now. I mean, English clubs.
Yeah,
now.
And that used to be the UEFA League back then.
Right.
Now it's the UEFA Cup. Now it's the Europa League. I don't know if they've changed things, but in 2012, when we won the Champions League, we finished 6th in the league. This shows you how strong the Premier League was. We won the Champions League and the FA Cup. And when we won the Champions League, it was so big for Chelsea as a club because it meant that we were in the Champions League. That obviously, yes, it was good to win the Champions League, but for us, it was like, oh, and we qualify for the Champions League. But in that, we knocked Spurs out, which was around the time in a couple of years after. Then we beat Spurs to Willian signing. So Spurs and Chelsea have some serious bad blood. Serious bad blood. Anyway, that's it for the week.
That's it. Tune in.
Tune in.
A lot of soccer this week. A lot of footy. Yeah, I'm glad
I work at home.
I'm glad I got that CBS Sports account.
I'm glad I work at home and nobody from my work listens to this.
Yeah, well, if they listen to it.
I've got my monitors and I got my iPhone just blaring the Prem, baby.
Okay.
Okay, ciao.
Ciao.
You bring Jose in to almost keep what Poch is doing in terms of Champions League football or thereabouts and just make that difference in a cup final or a semi-final. For me, they're a long way from the Pochettino team, and I don't think just winning that trophy, if the performance carry on as they are and the league position carries on as it is, I don't think it does justify it.
I think this next 4 or 5 weeks will determine whether you're on that, what would be that Jose period where he starts to get, you know, a little bit disenfranchised with what's happening, or actually now he could grab hold of it, change the direction of it, bring those two players on side, win a trophy, get that sort of what would be Harry Kane back in the team, he's missed a couple of games, play easier games, because obviously you go to City, you go to Liverpool, you're going to struggle and that's going to happen. So for me, I think it's at that sort of what would be that moment of balance.
Would you think the trophy justifies that if it continues as it is?
If he finishes fifth and wins a trophy, I would say that's success, because at the start of the season, that's what we said Tottenham should deliver. I don't think we should change our minds now just because they were top of the league 3-4 weeks ago.
Oh no!
Steve, forgive me, I'm going to come back to that, but right now we're going back to Ali McCoy's because there has been another Alisson moment!
No way. Alisson in the centre half?
No way.
Jeff, Jamie Vardy's playing guitar on the corner flag. Honestly, it's unbelievable. I can't believe my eyes. They've gone from being out in the game, they're now 2-1 ahead. It gets worse every time I see it, lads. Jeff, oh dear me. You thought his two against Manchester City were bad, and they were. This is up there, and I've got to say, I'm really impressed with Vardy's guitar playing with a corner flag. Great celebration.
Thanks for listening to the Boys and Bolos podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Patreon, Twitch, at Boys and Bolos.
If you'd like to be a guest, please reach out. You can hit us on any of the social media accounts that Jeff just mentioned, or email us directly at boysandbolos@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening, and see you next time.